possible measure introduction and a large number of work sessions scheduled for this morning. We will generally follow the agenda set by the printed agenda. There will be a couple of changes around as we proceed this morning. I've had a couple of notes from persons inquiring about testifying on bills. These bills are only scheduled for work session today, not for public hearing. Public hearing has already been held on all measures that are in front of us. And at the same time, we've also received a considerable amount of correspondence from folks, pro and con, on a number of issues. However, work sessions only include from time to time, especially invited assistance from invited testimony or invited assistance from agency officials. And at present, I have no intention of calling any witnesses today. The first item up is possible measure introduction. Friday evening, and we'll go into that part of the agenda. Friday evening, we received from Legislative Council drafts of revisions of what was HGR 7, dividing HGR 7 into, I believe, 8 different measures. I managed to pick my copies up Friday evening, but it was too late to distribute them to committee members. Of course, committee members will want time to consider possible amendments to these measures. In order to expedite the process, we need to get the bills filed so that we can proceed. The timeline that I anticipate is if we are able to introduce them this morning, I'm advised that there's a fairly fast printing process now that the backlog has been eliminated, and that there would be a printed version available by tomorrow, possibly the next day. And we would then see first reading on the floor and referral to this committee. Because of that, I have advised some people, including representatives of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers, that they should not anticipate that there be any action on victims' rights measures before Thursday. So even though it's come up on the calendar under HGR 7, that is not the proper notice. That was simply a notification that things might be happening. And we will not see any possible action as to any bill until it's been referred to us. And I think the earliest date would be Thursday. In fact, I know the earliest date would be Thursday, possibly Friday. If it runs beyond Friday, we'll seek special permission from the Speaker to hold hearings and that sort of thing. Representative Przanski?
Mr. Chair, I guess for the record, from my understanding, I had the impression that we were going to be working these bills and that they would be coming into the committee as any other committee bill once they've been referred to our committee. So I would assume that we are going to need to post these for public hearing and all that. And we're not under, I understand from what I remember our discussion before, these particular drafts that will become bills are not subject to the May or the April 30th deadline.
That is correct. The Speaker will be had given us permission to have the drafts prepared. She will give us permission today to have them filed, assuming the committee votes to introduce them. She will also give us permission to hold hearings, which would be starting Thursday, and work sessions on these, and we are not subject to the April 30 deadline. I should also mention that I read these over the weekend, and every single one of them is going to need to be amended from my perspective anyway, so the version that we file is not what I would expect that anybody on the committee will necessarily want to go forward with in final form. Representative Przanski?
I guess one other area that I assume that we have permission to continue to work is in the firearms areas. I know that the Chair has put together a abstract draft of some concepts and that we'll be breaking those into some type of number of drafts for possible committee bills.
I requested as to, these are all as to pending bills, amendments, which I have not received. As soon as I receive them, I will distribute them to the committee members because they'll be coming to me as an individual requester of amendments, and I'll circulate those for everybody's review. I do not have any special permission to move beyond Friday on firearms issues, so I'm going to try to expedite that and get that to everybody for their review. Should we decide we need a new bill, then we would seek permission. But as of right now, we are still constrained by standard procedures,
okay.
Which is why I've taken the approach of finding appropriate bills with relating clauses to use as possible bills on firearms issues. And right now, I would not schedule anything, I think, before Thursday, so members would have a chance to see proposed amendments, have a chance to discuss them. And if we start running close to the Friday deadline, and I would approach it, well, past the Friday deadline, I would ask the Speaker for permission to continue to work these.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I could, regarding the LCs that are before us, I'm not sure if the Chair would like to have them introduced individually, or if I made a motion that would encompass all of the LC numbers, if that would be sufficient.
I believe a motion that would encompass all of them would be sufficient.
All right, Mr. Chair, at this point, I would offer or introduce LC 4236, running consecutively through 4243. Should be a total of eight separate LCs for introduction as committee bills.
All right, Representative Przanski moves that the following LC drafts be introduced as committee bills: 4236, 4237, 4238, 4239, 4240, 4241, 4242, and 4243. Discussion on the motion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, the motion is adopted. The LC drafts will be submitted this morning as committee draft bills, and we will have the Speaker inscribe her approval of this process on those. That concludes the possible measure introduction part of our schedule. We will move into work session on House Bill 2297. Counsel, would you update us on this bill?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. We had a public hearing on this bill some time ago, and because of the relating clause, it was being held for a different bill. We are not, some amendments, we are not proceeding with those amendments. What this bill in its original form does is it appears to be a very technical change to one of the statutes that relates to indigent defense, and simply replaces one phrase with another to make it more technically correct in three different parts of that statute.
Very well. Colleagues, we did hear this bill. There was a massive amendment having to do with indigent defense establishing a public corporation, but that ultimately became a separate bill, which is in front of us, I believe, Wednesday.
Correct. Yes.
So this bill is now free of the constraints of any proposed amendments that I know of. It's been requested by the bar and the state court administrator. So we're open to a motion on the bill.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the bill as it was presented to us, House Bill 2297, without any amendments, to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing no objection, the motion is adopted. House Bill 2297 is sent to the floor with a due pass. Volunteer for a carrier. President Przanski will carry that bill. This concludes the work session on House Bill 2297. Before we proceed, it occurs to me, too, that there was a bill some time back. The number was 22-something, perhaps even 2200, relating to corrections. And we had determined it was appropriate to rescind the referral to Ways and Means, but we did not do so by motion and vote. So I'm going to have that reset on the docket for Thursday so that we can have a formal motion to rescind the referral to Ways and Means rather than the informal action which we took. This has been pending for some time. Representative Przanski.
Mr. Chair, just for the record, I assume when we sent it to Ways and Means, we already had the due pass recommendation. Will we have sufficient time on with our deadline on Friday to make sure the bill can move to the floor?
In fact, 2200, I believe it is, was a pretty simple agency bill with a wonderful relating clause, but which also had to do with establishing a separate fund for corrections as to prison construction. And some people thought that there were devious schemes afoot in regard to that bill. We assured them that there were not, and we verbally just agreed informally in committee that we didn't need to refer. We were going to ask the Speaker's permission not to refer. Yeah, 2220 is the number. And it turned out that we need a formal motion and vote in committee to rescind the referral and send it to the floor with a due pass. So I'll bring it back up on the agenda for that. And in the meantime, if corrections decides that that's a great relating clause for some sort of compromise about prison siting, it's still in front of the committee for the next few days. Just keep that in mind. And I'm just mentioning that for everyone's benefit. And I believe I already mentioned, if I didn't mention it publicly, we'll be putting HJM 10 on the agenda for Thursday and Friday. Representative Bowman has come to me and has spoken about it. I've suggested that if we modify that HJM to something as a simple statement that the people of the state voted to authorize the medical use of marijuana and that while not all members of the Legislative Assembly necessarily agree with that, they respect the initiative process, and because it would be best to allow physicians to be able to prescribe that, that the Legislative Assembly asks Congress to look to changing the restrictions so that it can be prescribed, something along those lines, which I'll present to Representative Bowman and members of the committee when it's ready to see if this is something that's sufficient to attract support. It would not be a statement in favor of the ballot measure. It would simply be a statement to the Congress about how they ought to respect states' rights and the will of the people in various states, regardless of our position. Now, that issue is not resolved. I'm simply saying that I've offered to allow that to come up for discussion, and we'll see how the people in the committee feel about it. Next bill up is House Bill 2273, so we'll go into work session on House Bill 2273. Where are we on that one, Council?
Mr. Chairman, this is the bill that adds some classifications to the crime of Assault 3, which is a Class C felony. The committee has considered various amendments, and there were some technical changes requested to those. Those have culminated in the Dash 5 amendments, and I believe that the proponents of this bill were copacetic with the Dash 5 amendments, and it is also my understanding that these would be the only amendments that would need to be considered by the committee. They would replace all other proposed amendments.
So let's pull up our copies of those amendments. We have a packet of amendments that were distributed today, the Dash 3, Dash 4, and Dash 5.
Chair. I move the Dash 5s into House Bill 2273.
Representative Sinceri moves adoption of the Dash 5 amendments on House Bill 2273. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brzezinski.
I guess I'll just, since this is something we've had before, but it's been some time back, if Council could just walk us through as to
my
own concerns or making certain that we're not, let's say, starting a new definition of what would be defined as assault. There was some discussion that previously that where you could actually have a harassment and then it would be incumbent assault. So I just want clarification something on the record.
Well, in response to that, Mr. Chairman, Representative Prozanski, that overall what the Dash 5 amendments do is a few things. They clarify the definition of dangerous substance. They include a volunteer in the scope of what was formerly simply an employee, and they also add an emergency clause. As far as the good representative's concern about that, it is true that the current crime of harassment, which is a Class B misdemeanor, does normally include spitting or other offensive physical contact, but I don't think from a legal perspective that we really have any risk of doing any violence to that law. This simply adds some requirements to the Assault 3 statute. I don't think that there's any overlap that's going to be a problem.
If I could just, for the record, my understanding is that we're basically, by giving a definition for dangerous substances, we're allowing for people to be charged with what would be Assault 3 for where they previously could only be charged with the harassment or maybe possibly assault because of the some type of touching.
That is true.
Okay.
And we have pending. Any further question or debate? All right. Is there any objection to the adoption of the Dash 5 amendments? Seeing no objection, the Dash 5 amendments are adopted. Representative Sinceri, do you have a motion on
this? Just a clarification. First, Mr. Chair, I have a fiscal here of $335,000. Does this need to move to Ways and Means?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2273 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
For the due pass?
With the due pass, right.
Representative Sinceri moves that House Bill 2273 be referred to the Ways and Means Committee as amended with the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? Seeing no objection, the motion is adopted. House Bill 2273 is sent to Ways and Means with the due pass. We'll ask Ways and Means will designate a carrier should they send it on to the floor, which we will encourage them to do. I hope it will end up in the Public Safety Subcommittee, where Representative Brzezinski and I are assigned. The next bill up is House Bill 2307, so we'll close the work session on House Bill 2273 and move into work session on House Bill 2307. Counsel, where are we with that bill?
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is the infant assault bill. Some time ago, the committee considered the Dash 7 amendments, which, like some other amendments before, created two levels of assaulting an infant, a Class A felony and a Class B felony, and provided for a presumptive term of imprisonment of 70 months for the first-degree crime, and then a classification of a crime Category 8 for the Class B felony, the second-degree crime. After considering the Dash amendments, the committee requested a one-word change to those, and that was in the definition of, and that's in Section 3, actually, of the Dash 7 amendments, on lines 18 and 19, and the committee had requested that the word substantial be changed to minor as far as that related to bruising, cuts, or pain. The Dash 8 amendments, which are before the committee, do that. It does reflect the committee's request, and other than that, it is not changed. And so the only thing that the committee would need to consider today would be the Dash 8 amendments, which would replace all prior amendments.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Sinceri.
Move the Dash 8 amendments into 2307.
Representative Sinceri moves adoption of the Dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2307. Discussion as to the amendments? Is there any objection? Seeing none, the Dash 8 amendments are adopted. Do you have a motion on the bill?
I move House Bill 2307 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Discussion? Yeah. Representative Hansen.
Well, I'm still a little troubled by this, whether it actually gets at all the things we should be doing. I think it's certainly increasing penalties for assaults on infants is a very valuable thing to do. I'm just not I'm troubled somewhat by the fact that we're still only focusing on the physical injury rather than substantial mental permanent mental damage that these kind of assaults occur. And I'm not terribly comfortable with whether we've ratcheted the penalties appropriately for the action. I think I mentioned that earlier, that I don't know if we're differentiating properly between the person that's violently acting out against a kid with forethought and direct knowledge, and the young parent that's acting out of ignorance and emotional duress. But I think we're going in the right direction. I just don't know whether I'm totally comfortable with all with the exact language in it.
Well, what I'll do is it's possible Representative Bowman wants to be heard on this bill. Since she advised me she needed to go down and testify on a bill, we'll give it a little while to see if she can get back here. And also, Representative Simmons is not here. So we'll recess the work session until a little later this morning. So we're in recess as to House HB 2307 with a motion pending. While we're doing that, we will move on to... I will advise you, HB 2350, we are awaiting amendments which may or may not be needed, depending upon another bill. Accordingly, House Bill 2350 will be set over, and we'll try to set that perhaps for Wednesday, Thursday. Sounds like Wednesday's a busy day.
It is.
We'll set it over for Thursday. So House Bill 2350, I'll just mention that I doubt that the amendments will arrive while we're here or something else, but... we'll set that over to Thursday, but I'm not going to declare any official action until we've seen whether or not any amendments arrive and whether or not the members are comfortable with those. It's likely that we'll move on Thursday, but we'll see what happens. I'm being more careful since we're running out of days, and I don't know what's coming down on everything. Representative Simmons, we just recessed House Bill 2307. We're going to wait a few minutes, too, and see if Representative Bowman can get back. We've just skipped over House Bill 2350. We'll also skip over House Bill 2351 and move to House Bill 2394. we'll move into work session on House Bill 2394. Council, why don't you update us on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that the committee has heard and had a work session on several times. Briefly, it is the bill that expands the felony murder statute to include some instances of felony attempting to elude and driving under the influence of intoxicants. The committee has before it the Dash 8 amendments, which are the same amendments which were before the committee approximately a week or a week and a half ago. There is no change to those amendments. The committee, I believe, simply wanted some time to review those. And the staff measure summary, which I provided to the committee, would also correctly reflect what the Dash 8 amendments do.
All right. We have in front of us then House Bill 2394, the Dash 8 amendments. Now, what about these? What are these? Are the Dash 2 or the unauthorized departure, but Dash 8 incorporates?
Correct, Mr. Chairman. The Dash 8 incorporates really the vehicular crimes, the felony elude and the Dewey, into the felony murder statute, and also instances of felony elude and Dewey which cause either serious physical injury or physical injury to the Assault 1 statute and the Assault 2 statutes, respectively. Now, this entire bill, as I just summarized it under the Dash 8 amendments, would simply relate to those situations, really vehicular assault and homicide situations. Because the relating clause is relating to crime, the committee could, if it chose to, adopt the, I believe, the Dash 2 amendments, which have to do with the crime of unauthorized departure. That was House Bill 2303, which was heard much earlier by the committee, I believe back in January, and we've been waiting for the appropriate relating clause on that. And if the committee would like, I can go into an explanation of what that does, but I know that I've explained it before. Certainly, the original bill, House Bill 2303 before the committee, dealt with escape and modifying that statute to include instances where a person was convicted of a felony and then let out on transitional leave or furlough, and during that time they escaped. The original bill would have taken that from a misdemeanor up to a felony, and instead the committee determined that it was more appropriate to amend the crime of unauthorized departure instead of amend the crime of escape. And what the Dash 2 amendments would do would be to take the crime of unauthorized departure, which currently is only a Class A misdemeanor, and to create two levels. Unauthorized departure in the second degree would be a Class A misdemeanor and would retain most instances of what is currently that crime. Unauthorized departure in the first degree would be a Class C felony and would include situations where a person failed to return to custody after any form of temporary release or transitional leave from a correctional facility, and they were in the correctional facility because they were serving a felony sentence, they were pending adjudication on a felony charge, or they were pending adjudication on an allegation of a probation violation when they were on probation for a felony.
Very well. It looks like the Dash 2 and the Dash 8 are the major propositions in front of us. Representative Sinceri, do you have a motion on the Dash 2 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2s into 2394.
All right. Colleagues, you've heard the motion on the adoption of the Dash 2 amendments. Discussion? Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing no objection, the Dash 2 amendments are adopted. And Representative Sinceri, do you have a motion on the Dash 8 amendments?
And Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 8 amendments into 2394.
Representative Sinceri moves the adoption of the Dash 8 amendments. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Krasanski.
I'm going to be objecting to the to that motion at this point. I've looked at the 8s to the 7s. We've talked about, and I guess I've got a concern, that when we're taking in some of the criteria that would put someone into the felony murder status, there doesn't seem to be what I would call proportionality as to the type of conduct. What I mean by that is that we do, in fact, include where someone has been convicted previously of the crime, but we also include stuff as diversion, where someone is actually in a program, or where someone has been charged but has not even been through the process because they failed to appear. They would be held accountable at the same level as if they had been convicted of that underlying offense. The other concern that I raised before when we looked at the Dash 7s was that there's no statute of limitations as to how far back we are going to be considering these type of events for elevating it up to a felony murder. Specifically, my concern would be if someone has been previously convicted of DUII, let's say back in the 1970s, and if everything was constitutionalized to the conviction, that conviction could in fact be used 25, 26 years later. As compared to a lot of the work that we've already done, we've looked at trying to let's say, maintain some type of continuity of closeness in time. And I believe on these type of areas, we've had a 10-year limit, statute of limitations that we were applying. So for those reasons, I would not be able to support the dash dates as they're presented to the committee.
Thank you, Representative Brzezinski. I understand and respect your concerns about that. From my perspective, what we really were doing was we're getting to the mental state or the circumstances of the person who was eluding and looking at the fact that they were eluding a police officer and that they then caused injury or death to another, and that in that context we were actually limiting the scope of the original bill, and I guess the question is still whether or not the limitation of the scope of the original bill is sufficient. President Bowman, I know you were excused to be down in another committee. Where we are now is we are on House Bill 2394. We have adopted the Dash 2 amendments, which have to do with unauthorized departure and escape, something which we've discussed for some time. We now have pending, Representative Bowman, the Dash 8 amendments, and Representative Brzezinski has expressed his concerns about those amendments. Representative Sinceri has moved adoption, and we are in the discussion phase if you wanted to say anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I don't have anything to add.
All right, is there further discussion on the Dash 8 amendments? Having heard an objection, the clerk will call the roll on the Dash 8 amendments.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianello?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Brzezinski?
No.
Aye. The motion is carried and the Dash 8 amendments are adopted. Representative
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2394 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion on the motion? Representative Hansen.
I've got no problems with both the failure to return to custody and the eluding. Ratcheting up the looting an officer part. Still got some concerns in terms of the extension to the DUII. I think the concern is two convictions for just barely exceeding the .8. I think is probably a less serious crime than if somebody is at .15. That I think we're possibly throwing a net where people will be facing a murder conviction of just based on the fact of. Barely blowing .8 on a, and I don't know if that's a penalty that fits the crime. Certainly repeated drunk driving. I think there are certainly cases where it could be and should be considered felony murder, but I don't know whether we cast the net just slightly too broad on this.
Chair.
Representative Sinceri.
This is one of the biggest killers in our state, this drunken driving problem. It's one of the biggest killers in our nation. And for us to broaden the net, I think, is appropriate. I think that we've in the past dealt too gingerly with this. And finally, in the last session and this session, we're beginning to really realize that this is one of the crimes that has more repetition than any other crime we have to deal with, because people are, in fact, while they're changing the social mentality of this, there's still a physical addiction that people are denying. And I think for us to deal with this as harshly as we can, to be able to go back and look years in the past at people who will continue, what it doesn't tell us is how many times they didn't get caught. And I think that we need to have that information. We need to have that knowledge from what happens in the past to be able to deal with this problem. And so I don't feel uncomfortable with this at all. I think it's appropriate for us to take measures that will really have some impact and make people think about what they're going to do before they do it.
Thank you. Further debate? Since I've noticed some objection to the bill and the motion, I will ask for the clerk to call the roll on the motion to send House Bill 2394 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. So please call the roll.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianella?
Yes.
Representative Hansen?
Yes. I'm sorry, no. But I'll reserve the right to be smarter in the future.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Ponseri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wazanski?
No.
Aye. The motion is carried. House Chair?
Yes. Does give notice of possible minority report with House Bill 2394.
All right. Representative Wazanski has given notice of a possible minority report on House Bill 2394. The motion is carried. House Bill 2394 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation subject to a possible minority report. And Representative Ponseri, do you want to be the carrier or do you want me to be the carrier?
I get all the minority reports.
All right, I'll be the carrier.
I'll be glad to carry it, Mr. Chair.
Right.
Not a problem.
All right, Representative Ponseri will be the carrier for the majority report or for the bill, depending on circumstances. This concludes the work session on House Bill 2394. Next up is House Bill 2488. Colleagues have conferred with the Department of Corrections. They advised me that they are meeting with the Department of Justice this afternoon, or excuse me, later today at some point, in regard to some additional pending amendments on House Bill 2488. So I have advised them that we will move that bill over to Thursday for a work session on Thursday. So if anyone's here on House Bill 2488, that is going to be carried over to Thursday. While I'm mentioning things, HGR 82, which is a constitutional referral also tied to the prison work program, will be moved over to Thursday. I've had a message sent to Representative Gardner, who is the chief sponsor of the measure, advising him that it's going to be sent over to Thursday. So both of those will be sent over. Next up is House Bill 2494, and we'll move into work session on House Bill 2494. Council, where are we with this bill?
Mr. Chairman, we are at the dash 8 amendments, and what this bill originally did was remove the affirmative defense of spiritual treatment from various crimes, including murder, manslaughter 1, manslaughter 2, and then also from some Class C felonies, including criminal mistreatment and criminal non-support. The dash 8 amendments do take a somewhat different approach, and what the dash 8 amendments do is to retain and to leave in the affirmative defense for the crimes of murder, manslaughter 1, manslaughter 2, and they do provide some clarifying language to the criminally negligent homicide statute that really adopts and reflects some language used in another statute that has a similar effect. And what this does is to simply clarify that if a person would basically otherwise have been convicted of manslaughter 2, but or rather manslaughter 1 or murder, but if the affirmative defense has been established by a preponderance of the evidence, which is, of course, what an affirmative defense requires, then it can be prosecuted as criminally negligent homicide. Now, what this bill, the amendment would do is retain what the original bill does for the Class C felonies, criminal non-support, criminal mistreatment, and to remove that defense from those lesser crimes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wazanski.
I hope that, one, we'll have a little discussion today, but I'm also going to ask the Chair to set this one over. This is one that I think everyone in the committee realizes we've spent a lot of time on. We're now down to a dash 8 that looks like it's radically going to alter what the original intent of the bill was, and I would ask the Chair that if we could save this for either Wednesday or Thursday for movement, that would give us an opportunity to make sure exactly what we're doing. I have not had an opportunity to go through the dash 8s and rectify them as to the original bill. It does sound like it's pretty much staying status quo within the current statutes with a few clarifications.
Council, how long have the dash 8 amendments been out, and have we distributed them to the committee members?
Well, I believe we did. They came out on the 16th, so they were probably distributed, I would say, at least a week ago.
Normally, I would defer, but because of the backlog, we've already set several things for Thursday.
Okay.
I'm going to continue carry on with this work session and see if there's a motion on the dash 8 amendments.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ponseri.
I'll move the dash 8 amendments into the House Bill 2494.
Representative Ponseri moves the adoption of the dash 8 amendments to House Bill 2494. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I could say this after the dash eights are adopted or discussion on the bill itself, but I have to say that this is one of the most difficult bills that I have had to work on in three sessions I've been in this legislature. Because of having to balance what I would consider religious liberty and parental authority and then rights of the children, and I appreciate a lot of the testimony that we have had. The dash eights still retain the exemption from the charge of murder, and I'm convinced in my mind that these people who are guilty of this, of a child dying as a result of neglecting medical attention, are not malicious murderers, and I'm not convinced that even manslaughter addresses that. These people have attempted in their mind, rightly or wrongly, to do something to benefit the child in their illness through spiritual healing and prayer, which is their conviction, things that they believe. And yet, I think that there is a negligence there if the child actually dies as a result of that. I don't believe that, at least in my mind, that we had testimony that demonstrated deep, heartfelt conviction that this is a doctrine that they would live or die by, but were willing, in many cases, to be able to look for medical attention if this law was available. And so I don't see the appropriateness of even being able to charge someone with murder or manslaughter. But criminally negligent homicide does allow for 3 years, near approximately 3 years, of imprisonment as a result of this kind of conduct. And if a second child falls to this, then there's the ability for even more punishment. And so I think that we've addressed the problem, and I think that it is done appropriately here. And I think it does strike a balance, and I'm comfortable with this bill as we've finally worked it through to its end.
Thank you. I should mention that there's been a compression here so that as to aggravated murder or the manslaughter statutes, the defense is left in there. But as to criminally negligent homicide, there is a recognition by reference, in effect, that if you had that affirmative defense as to those most serious offenses, that you're dropping down to criminally negligent homicide. This ties in with the Attorney General's earlier opinion that you could prosecute on this, and clarifies in the statutes for those who disagree that you can prosecute for criminally negligent homicide. It's true that criminally negligent homicide does not have a mandatory minimum sentence. It's sentenced under sentencing guidelines, and it ranges about, 3.5 years?
Well, that would generally be the maximum, Mr. Chairman. For a person that had no criminal history, there would be a downward option of probation, or it could be 18 months, 24 months prison on the top end.
At the same time, it includes a policy statement that at some point one must take cognizance of the availability of medical care, and on the neglect side, we also say that as to children, we are not going to accept that defense. If some adult wants to refuse medical treatment and a caregiver wants to empower them, that's okay, but it's not okay as to children. At least that's my reading. So I support the amendment, which reflects many attempts to come up with a balanced approach to this issue, which probably won't satisfy folks on either extreme of the issue. Further debate, Representative Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the hard work that's been done on this bill. And for me, the an issue that I raised early on was whether or not we were creating a separate class of individual that had maximum charges based on religion. And I still have some real concerns, and I'm still uneasy about creating a separate class of people. And I guess, for me, I read this is that if somebody's smart enough to be able to use a religious defense, then they, in fact, have limited liability for their actions. If someone isn't smart enough to use that defense, then it's left in a district attorney's hands to determine what the appropriate charge is. And so I'm really uncomfortable with the Dash 8 amendments because they create this exception based on somebody having previous knowledge about what the maximum prison time would be. And I think I'm not going to be able to support the Dash 8 or the bill as amended with the Dash 8 in it. And that's unfortunate because I know this committee has worked very hard this session. I've listened very intently to the testimony on both sides of this issue. And this is the one sticking point that I can't just kind of swallow. So
I should mention, Representative Bowman, that this bill actually does squeeze down the availability of the defense. The defense is statutorily available right now. And this is more of a restriction as to make it clear that the criminally negligent homicide charge is available to restrict the defense as to the I'll call it the neglect side of the equation. It does leave the defense available as an affirmative defense for a higher level homicides, but also ties in that if you succeed in making that defense, you're in a way going to be tying yourself into criminally negligent homicide, and you will be held accountable for having engaged in this. And it is a So it is a movement in that direction compared to current law, but on the other hand, it is not a complete elimination of the defense. Further discussion? Mr. Schwansky.
Yes, I'm going to be voting no at this point since I have not had an opportunity myself to go through the dash 8s and do a cross comparison, reserving the right to either support the bill on the floor later or possibly wanting to make some modifications to a minority report.
And, Mr. Schwansky, I respect and appreciate your position, and I'll mention that. I've appreciated all along the work of the committee members in trying to keep up with all this paper flow. This week will be particularly intense. I'm going to make every effort to make sure amendments are available. I did have a remonstrance from the committee structure, not our particular staff, that, in fact, we were trying too hard to send out amendments and getting them all confused, whereas other committees simply have the amendments distributed at the time. We're still going to try to continue to get amendments out ahead of time or set over work sessions this week as we can, but we have set this one over several times. And again, I respect the difference of opinion on this. Unfortunately, at some point, we have to make the call.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Simmons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this amendment does represent the end product of a lot of thought and a desire to carefully balance what kind of charge should be available to treat their children by spiritual means. I'd be happy to support it.
All right. Thank you. Representative Gianella.
Mr. Chairman, this bill caused me more agony than anything I've listened to, and it was heart-wrenching, and I'm comfortable with these amendments. I think it addresses both sides of the problem. It will protect the children, and it will still give an opening for those that truly believe in prayer can still step out in that direction. And I'm really comfortable with this. In fact, I'm not only comfortable with it, I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? Yes, Representative Hansen.
Yeah, I'm probably still going to need to be pondering this probably as between the time it leaves the committee and until it gets to the floor. I think it's even with the Dash 8 amendments, I think it's an incredibly complicated issue, and it's been very difficult to deal with. I'm looking at it sort of in relationship probably to 2307, where we're talking about a 7 to 9 year penalty for assaulting an infant. Somehow, leaving a child to anguish and die with lack of treatment, and then only be subject to either probation or a minimum or a maximum 3 year sentence, I think is out of balance. But it could be on if I reflect long enough on it, it may be I can make myself comfortable with that. But the concern is if we're trying to send a signal that people need to have medical treatment for critically ill children or severely ill children, I don't know if this is the message we need to send them, and it's a real graduation of the message. At least this goes far enough that we're sending a message. Whether or not that message is as strong as it needs to be, I'm going to have to ponder for a while.
All right. Seeing no further debate, And noting that there is some objection to the Dash 8 amendments, I'd ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion to adopt the Dash 8 amendments to this bill.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Flansberry?
Yes.
Vice Chair Pozanski?
No.
Chairman Anik?
Aye. The motion is carried and the Dash 8 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2494 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Discussion? The clerk will call the roll on the motion to send House Bill 2494 to the floor with a due pass as amended with the Dash 8 amendments.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Yes.
Vice Chair Pozanski?
No.
Chairman Anik?
Aye. The motion is carried.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Notice and possible minority report on House Bill 2494 once I've reviewed everything.
Representative Pozanski has given notice of the possible minority report on House Bill 2494. That is noted. And with the passage of the motion, House Bill 2494 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And that will either be a majority report if there is a minority report, or that will be the report of the committee if there is no minority report. And the chair will carry this bill as to a majority report or as to the bill itself. Representative Simmons?
I was going to ask if that maybe Representative Starr be willing to...
That's a good idea. We'll designate Representative Starr to carry the bill. However, I will carry the majority report if there's a minority report, and then we'd hand over to Representative Starr to carry the bill.
Huh?
Because I know that my able colleague, Representative Pozanski, will do such a fine job presenting any minority report that... we may need to have a sparring partner consisting of another lawyer, and that's meant to be a problem.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think you could always help on the ropes.
Is he willing to be on the ropes that quickly?
This concludes the work session on House Bill 2494. We will move back to the work session on House Bill 2307. We had recessed that. Two of our colleagues were out of the room, Representative Simmons and Representative Bowman. I will bring you back up to speed, colleagues, as to where we were. On House Bill 2307, the Dash 8 amendments had been adopted. A motion was pending from Representative Sinceri to send House Bill 2307 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with the Dash 8 amendments. And Representative Bowman, I know you've felt very strongly about these issues, and I wanted to give you a chance to discuss this, also Representative Simmons, and certainly a chance to vote, depending on what your preferences may be. So we do have the motion pending. We are back into the work session on House Bill 2307, and we are open to further debate. All right, seeing no further debate, we will take the vote on House Bill 2307, the motion to send to the floor, as amended with the Dash 8 amendments, due pass recommendation. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Gianella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sinceri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Pozanski?
No.
Chairman Anik?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to give notice of possible minority report on House Bill 2307.
Representative Pozanski, well, I'll declare that, first of all, the motion is carried, and House Bill 2307 will be sent to the floor as amended with the Dash 8 amendments and the due pass recommendation. Representative Pozanski has given notice of a possible minority report that's noted, and the process will begin on that. As to this bill, if there is a minority report, of course, whoever presents that will carry the minority report. I'll designate myself as the carrier on this bill. All right, Representative Gianella. No, I will carry the bill as to any majority minority report. Representative Gianella will carry the bill after that, or if there is no minority report. Into the valley of death.
I just realized what I had done.
This concludes the work session on House Bill 2307. We are moving on to House Bill 2500. We move into work session on House Bill 2500. Counsel, where are we with this bill?
Mr. Chairman, we are at the dash one amendments, which were provided to the committee approximately a week and a half ago, I believe.
Yes.
And those were provided by Representative Schrader. Because they were provided on the day of the work session, we decided to not proceed that day and give the committee a chance to look over these amendments, which, very briefly in summary, scale back what the original bill did as far as the administration of certain chemicals to sex offenders, and it essentially creates a pilot program.
Colleagues, we have the bill and the dash one amendments in front of us. Representative Cesari, do you have a motion on the dash one amendments?
Actually, I think it's Representative Prezanski. He's going to move this one.
Sure.
Mr. Chair.
I don't think I can support this bill at this time.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to the House Bill 2500.
Representative Cesari moves adoption of the dash one amendment. Discussion. Is there objection to adoption of the dash one amendment?
I object.
All right. Representative Bowman objects. Please call the roll on the adoption of the dash one amendments to House Bill 2500.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Giannella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Simmons?
With reservations, aye.
No.
Representative Panseri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Brzezinski?
No.
Chair Manning?
Aye. The motion is carried. The dash one amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Brzezinski.
I want to give no notice of no minority report.
All right. Representative Cesari, do you have a motion on the bill as amended?
Mr. Chair, I'll move 2500 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation.
Colleagues, you've heard the motion. Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair, I think we've softened this bill more than it needed to be. But if this is the best we can do at this point in time, I really think we should have left the option of the knife in there. If this is how it has to be for now, then let's move ahead.
All right. Further discussion? We will take a vote on the motion to send this bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Bowman?
No.
Representative Giannella?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Representative Simmons?
Aye.
Representative Sunseri?
Aye.
Vice Chair Brzezinski?
No, with a right to maybe change on the floor.
Chair Manning?
Aye. The motion is carried. House Bill 2500 is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Volunteer for a carrier.
Representative Schrader ought to carry that bill.
Representative Schrader will be the carrier. I appreciate that suggestion. And that concludes the work session on House Bill 2500. Colleagues, 2562 was on the agenda. There's amendments that are pending on that, which...
No, I think we have
them. Oh, we do have them. Oh, well.
We got them late Friday.
Well, I've got to give everybody a chance to adjust to those amendments, and let's set this over to Thursday.
Okay, do you want to summarize them?
We're setting it over. So House Bill 2562 will be set over to Thursday. Those amendments do have major policy import, and I think members should have a chance to absorb them.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Regarding this bill, does it have a subsequent referral already to Ways and Means?
As set up right now, it does not.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to
excuse me. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay. I was going to say, with the numbers that we got here, it looks like it definitely would have financial impact.
It does have that at this time. Next we have, so we will set over House Bill 2562 to Thursday. Next we have House Bill 3189. We'll go into work session on House Bill 3189. Counselor, would you summarize, please?
Representative Brzezinski, where are we on these?
There's a dash one amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, there has been some additional work ongoing on this. I've been requested to clarify a few things as to the hiring for the personnel within the...
Excuse me, I just note that Representative Schrader just stuck his head in the door. You're welcome. You get to carry House Bill 2500, Representative Schrader.
That sounds fair enough. Thank you very much. All right. Talking kind of deep there.
Back on 3189.
Yes, and regarding 3189, I've been requested to clarify a few points from one of the cities
I've requested that to be amended today, so I'm going to ask the chair to set that over toward the end of the week.
We'll set over House Bill 3189 to Thursday. Is there any other? Yes, Thursday will be a busy day. So will Wednesday, so will Tuesday, so will Friday. It looks like a busy week.
Mr. Chair, just because we are setting a lot of stuff on Thursday, I suggest that possibly we may set these also on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah.
To make certain that we...
I agree with that suggestion. Thank you. It's a good idea. And I believe we have covered all the bills. 2351 will also set over to Thursday and set that for Friday also. Any other business to come before the committee? Seeing no further business, we are adjourned.
Great.